So, lots of things in the mind here today. Things we've been thinking about for a little bit here. We've been talking about judgment quite a bit, huh? And but one thing that we didn't mention on judgment, there's still some more to judgment, a lot more, to tell you the truth. But God has also been interjecting about being humble, about being willing to change the mind, the heart, and the world, to follow after Him, to have the right will. And but something that we still need to mention about judging is this. God will judge the wicked. I mean, that's a powerful thing. It says it many times in the scriptures. God will judge the wicked. He will judge them. And so the wicked that's in your world, believe this, is going to be judged. Now, here's the thing. You don't want to be with it when it's judged. In other words, we have to leave wickedness, leave the wicked thought, leave the evil, willingly to want to do the things of God. There are things we're comfortable with, God. I said we think and do. And remember in that judgment, we don't want to judge places, things, situations, people, nothing like that. We've gotten to the point now where at least I believe you're aware that we need to quit judging circumstances. It brings forth offense, wrath, anger, things that are not conducive to following the things of God. So God is love. And so if we follow the commandments of God and we love Him, through that love, He's going to guide us into every single thing that we need. And so, but we have to realize this, He's a righteous God too. So He may even use that wicked thing to teach us some things, but still it's going to be judged. That's the thing that's important. God will judge the wicked. Now, here's the problem we have sometimes. Sometimes we try to judge it. We judge it, and then we try to bring forth a change in ourselves to try to overcome it. That's not how God wants it done. It's not going to be a work that you can do. It's going to be from heaven. The song was talking about miracles. Miracles come from heaven, guys. You know, I know how religion preaches it here in the physical realm, and that there's going to be certain miracles. But think about this. All that healing, lady was singing about troubling the waters, and we talked about that several months back. But the thing is, the waters are going to be troubled. The healing that's taking place is going to be of things of the sin-sick soul. What's happening is that God is going to trouble the waters to heal the lame. Well, the lame is the one that can't work the parable. So the lame shall walk. There's going to be a time you'll be able to walk in the parable of God. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. Hear what? The word of God. The blind will see the things of God now. These healings that you read about in the word of God have nothing to do with the physical. We're going to keep reiterating that because that's still a thought in the mind. And one of the things we have to understand is that God is not into that. He's into showing us what we need to do in order to attain the things of heaven. And He's showing us that we need to follow the Spirit. We have to be in the Spirit. We have to be guided by the Spirit. That is our light. And that the Word of God that comes forth is that thing. That voice of God is going to bring us forth and guide us into the things of the love of God. So, what we must understand is that this judgment was just the beginning of some things that we were talking about. And I hope all of you are starting to catch those thoughts of judgment, even if you have to catch it in the physical realm. But do that, but realizing this, that the thought in your world, that terrestrial realm, is where we really need to catch it. Stop judging. So, in order to do that, there's a submission that has to take place. And so that's how we're getting into the submitting. We submit to God in love. If we need patience, we have to submit to the love of God for that patience to grow in us. Because actually, it's a godly attribute. It's the attribute of the woman of God, the godly woman. Because it says, let patience have her perfect work. These are the things that God is doing to birth these things in us. She can bring that to us. That can be birthed in us, and we can have patience. But the thing is, we have to trust God for it. That's the thing that's important. So the submission is very important in all things. time for us to submit our will, our thoughts, our heart, our world to God totally. And whether it's good and evil, you know, God's going to separate it. He's going to help the good to be brought forth, and the evil will be bundled up. And how's the scripture say? It'll be burned in the fire. Well, really, what's happening there, guys, is that, remember, that fire is the word of God, too. So what's happening is that thing that was in darkness, that thing that was, what's the word, damnation, those things that were hell, the pit, the grave, all those things, God is going to regenerate that. He's going to regenerate it and give it life. So when it gets burned up, the things that brought it against God, the things that were antichrist, the things that were of the man of sin, of Jezebel, Balaam, whatever, all those things, the seven-headed dragon, the false prophet, the beast out of the sea, the beast out of the earth, all of these things will be, those things will be burned up. They won't be the way they are anymore. Everything will be regenerated. All power will come back to God, and he has all power anyway, but now in our world it'll all come back to him. There's a power that the adversary has had over us for some time, and he's exercised that, and that's why there's a delay in us coming to the things of God, because we believe that. Sometimes our belief was based on what we thought God was, or what we thought the word of God was, and that's where that man of sin works greatly. Because he does know the word of God to the point that he can defile it. That's the thing that's important for us to realize. So we believed a defiled word sometimes. We believed it because we thought we had the knowledge and the wisdom of ourselves in order to make this thing work. And we've learned over the years here now that that's not it. That's of the flesh. That's not of God. And God wants to teach us a different way. The way of truth. How did Paul put it? A more excellent way. The more excellent way is through love, isn't it? The more excellent way is through love. That's what Paul was trying to get across to us. And then, you know, he's saying this in that 12th chapter. And then when you go into the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that is the more excellent way, the charity, the love, the manifestation of the love of God. So he says, I show you a more excellent way. But really, that's God showing us the more excellent way every day. He's showing it to us through the apostle, through the angel, through the words of God that are spoken by them. And these are the things we have to pay attention to. It's important for us to have our mind set that we want God and nothing else. We want his mind, his will, his world, and the things that God has in store for us. That's your desire there. All those other lusts, the lust of the world, you know, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the things we desire, things that appeal to our flesh, wanting to be seen of men, praise of men, wanting that, lusting after things that have no benefit to ourselves, all of those things have no business being in the realm of God. And so what God does, he helps us to overcome those things. He'll regenerate them until they are no more, until they don't exist. That fire will regenerate, because that fire is the word of God. It will regenerate them until it's no more. But in the time that the wicked have done what they've done, the place that they have to go to, it's also going to be a torment to them, isn't it? It's also going to be something where it talks about the lake of fire and so forth. Well, all of that is the word of God continuing to work until they come to a place where, I guess the only term I can use, they've had enough. And there's going to be a change. Now, you're going to be part of that change. You are. Your destiny is to be that apostle. Your destiny is to be in a sin. Your destiny is to be the sin. And we're going to go into those places of damnation, shine the light on it. We'll be able to go in and out of hell, in and out of the lake of fire. It does not harm us, because we've gotten the truth, the righteousness, and the peace of God, the holiness of God. And the same way that God is over all of those things, knows every spirit, so will we, because we're going to be part of that same thing. So there's much that God is going to give you concerning himself and that heavenly kingdom and the power of the Spirit. And we're going to go forth and exercise that. And God, we're going to be instruments of God and ascend to do the will of God. So all of that is great. That's prophecy. That's our destiny. But what God needs for us to do now is to be able to come to a place. We fell. We went away from God. we're going to be one with him again. That's the key, the oneness with God. So what God wants us to do is these things that are working in our world, he wants to overcome. Why does he want to do that? Because he loves us. He knows it's our world that's holding us back, the thoughts of our heart, the things that come forth in us that oppose him, the Antichrist thought. All of these things, he knows those are in our world, and he wants to cleanse us of that. And the cleansing is through love. God loves us so much, he wants us to be clean. He knows that the things that are not clean, the things that hold us up, the stumbling blocks, the darkness, all of those things delay us. They hurt us. They bring us into a condemnation. They bring us into offense, all kinds of things, where we even come to the point we may even hate our brother and we become a murderer. Those are the things that God wants to get rid of. Remember, he talks about the body of Christ. And he says it this way, there shall be no schism in that body. There's not going to be anything that's going to divide that body. There's not going to be any sin in it. That's the thing that God wants us to understand. So a submission needs to take place so that we can come to the place that God wants us to be. Come to the place of the opportunity of the Spirit to work in our life totally. And not partially, not a little bit, totally. 100% yielded to the Spirit of God. There are many spirits in this world, and we've yielded to many of them. But we want to yield to the Spirit of God, the creator of the ends of the earth, the one that we were part of before we left, part of being the very word of God. And so we want to return to that, and God is bringing us back to that. He's doing that right now. This word we speak unto you, this language of God, this is what God wants us to understand. And so we need to pay close attention. Our enemy, our worst enemy, is those things of the world, of the flesh, that still try to have some type of authority over us. And what God is trying to do right now is remove that authority and put it under the one authority above all things, and that is God. So we want God to have authority in our life and nothing else. And we want to be willing to allow that to happen in our world. Our heart must be changed, so there must be a submission. Now, we say to ourselves, you know, we want to be humble at the Lord's feet. And that's true. In order to be humble, what do we have to do, guys? We have to give all glory to God, all of it. Everything that happens, we can't take anything unto ourselves. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son because he loved us first. That was what he was doing. He was showing, proving his love. We have to do the same thing. We have to return that love back to God, understanding that he didn't have to do it that way, but he did. He did it because he's God, and God is righteous and he's just. He's given us the opportunity. I'm going to tell you what he's given us. He's given us great mercy and grace. The mercy on us to forgive us for the sin, and that grace to work the ministry from heaven to bring us back to him. It's a powerful thing. So, this is what God is doing. He's shown this. He's brought it forth in us. Our desires are changing. Our desires for the things of the Lord and not for things of self. Can you see these things happening? This is what God wants us to understand. So, this submission, very important thing. I have a scripture here I want to read. We must submit. And what does that mean, really, to submit? Isn't that to be brought under the authority of something or someone, to submit, to be brought under to that? We've submitted to the authority of the adversary for so long. The little g of this world, the small god, we've followed so many things. We've followed Gentile thought. We've followed our own lusts and so forth. We've done, are we tired of that? Are we coming to the point where we're tired of following the thing that is not God? That's what we have to come to. We have to come to a place where we're very tired of it. We're sick of it. And we want to follow God, because that's where our peace is going to be. That's where our understanding is going to be. That's where our life is going to be. That's where everything that we need, the love that we want and desire, the peace we desire, the joy, all of that's going to work through God. That cannot work through an adversary, because he doesn't have it. The devil does not have that. He may promise you things, and that's just to satisfy your lust. But he cannot give you the things that God can give you. And only God can do that through his Spirit. We have to realize that. So we've been fooled for so long. We've been deceived and seduced into thinking that we're going to get something from being in that other side, being an antichrist thought, being away from God, being separated from God. Let me tell you, we never got anything. We had no profit of anything by following that way. The only way that you get anything is when you come forth in God, and God will give you the words of eternal life. He will give you his spirit. He will give you the Holy Ghost. He will give you a heaven, and he will give you apostleship, and he will put you into ascend. God will fulfill prophecy in your life, and this is what we desire. This is what we desire. So the submission really is yielding to that authority of God. And here's the thing. Jesus made a point of saying that the Gentiles exercise authority, and they'll reward you for if you follow that authority that they exercise. But it doesn't bring you anything. What is a Gentile? Isn't it weak? Is it no understanding of God? Is it sin? You see what I'm talking about? So the only thing it can give you are those things. And so that is going to be of no profit to you. But what does God promise? He promises eternal life. He promised apostleship, angels, spirit. Wow, this is powerful. He promises you that you're going to be the Christ in your world. He said there are many worlds that you're going to be able to conquer. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. All of these promises are coming forth. It's for you to know the mysteries. You'll know the language of God. You will be with the Father. You will be as the Father. Because that's where we came from. The Word of God incarnate. You will be moved to do the things and the will of your Father, which is God. That's the thing that's important. Those are things we need to remember. Those are things we need to seek after. Those are things that we try and have it proven in us to the point where we know that we are following God and not something else. That's very powerful. So submission is a big thing. So let me show you something here. I'm reading from James chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 4. James 4, 4. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now, how many of you realize we were that at one time? We became one with the thought that had nothing to do with God. We followed it. We lusted after it. We received the reward of that. We went into the depths of darkness. We were in the deep and so forth because we didn't follow God. We were adulterers to the one. You know, if you're going to be in one ship, you don't have anything else that you go to. One of the things that God said, he said, I don't want you to have any other gods before me. We worshiped a lot of other gods, guys. And so we committed adultery. So you're adulterers and adulteresses. It's catching the male and the female. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? The friendship with your own world separates you from God. Wow. The friendship of your own thoughts that are contrary to God separates you from God. Do you realize that this is what we're fighting against? Is that world in you that was created by thoughts and thoughts not authored by God? And that's what we fight against. Now what we want to do with this world is preach the gospel to it and let the word of God be preeminent in that world. That's what we want. So, it says, know ye not that the friendship of the world, you notice it said friendship? You're friends with it. It's something you're comfortable with. You love it even. And so, he said, friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Whoa, do you want to be an enemy of God? So, is your friendship with your world more important than your willingness be the servant of God? That's what you have to ask yourself. What's more important? Here's the next part. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? This is not the spirit of God. That spirit that lusteth to envy. What do you think caused that fall? Go back to that 31st chapter of Ezekiel. That envy, that one tree, its boughs went higher than the other, and all the others admired him and tried to be and follow like him and emulate him. What do you think that's all about? What do you think of how Lucifer got Satan in him and fell? And then in his what is the word, merchandising and trafficking caused the fall of the young ones there in heaven. Wow. And what do you think was responsible for that fall in the garden? Same thing, isn't it? So it's very important for us to understand that we cannot allow ourselves to be a friend of our world. That spirit that lusts us to envy, I tell you, the scripture tells us about it, warns us about it over and over again. Those lusts are in us when we do not know God. And now that we know God, those lusts are being overcome. Remember, Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What do you think causes the tribulation? Is it not those lusts of that world? Think about it. The things we desire as opposed to what God wants us to have. Different things. A world full of sin and iniquity. What do you think causes that? That lusting. It's those things. It's your world. So, now, what we have to do is come to a place we want to change our world. We want to leave our world and go into the world of God. God's imagination, not our own. That's the thing that we want. So it's very powerful for us to submit. So when it says, do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? God's telling you what caused you to fall. God's telling you the sort of things that happen that cause you to come into a place where you are separated from him. And that's not what you want. But he's warning you about what it is. It's a lust. It's an envy, isn't it? And so let's go to the next part. It says, but he giveth more grace. Wow, isn't that powerful? He knows what that spirit does in our world. But what does he do to combat it? He gives us more grace. What is that grace? It's the work of God, isn't it? Paul said, I labored more than they all, yet not I, but the Christ in him, that grace that worked in him. Isn't that powerful? You can do much through the grace of God. And if you allow God to do the work and perform the work in you, and you quit trying to do a work yourself, God will bring this to pass. It's as simple as that. So it said, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Why does he go to proud and humbleness? Because that's the slippery slope that we go on. When we are lusting in our world to envy, do you realize that pride is a major component of that? Pride and envy go together. This is amazing. You envy something, but your pride wants you to take yourself above it. Isn't that what Lucifer wanted? He wanted to be the number one deal, didn't he? After Satan came in him, that lust just brings you. He was wiser than Daniel, and he thought that he could have more, and that could be above. And that's not what God wants. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. So you have pride in you, God's resisting that. It's as simple as that. It gives more grace to the what? To the humble. So maybe some of our prayer needs to be for God to grant us humility. Do whatever he has to do to humble us under his mighty hand. To show us what we need in order to be humble. I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest things is this, is sanctifying the Lord. Whatever God says, that's what you want to do. That's where you're sanctifying. And remember, Moses didn't sanctify him because he did outside of what God told him to do. He struck the rock twice, told him that he was going to get the water for them. Come fetch, shall we fetch you water, you rebels? God didn't tell him to do any of that. So he did, and God said because he did not sanctify him before the people, he was not allowed to go into the promised land with them. See what happened there? The sanctification separates you because all you want to do is follow the will of God. Do what the Father says to do. Speak what the Father says to speak. That's what you do. You sanctify God when you do that. You make his will holy in your life is what you're doing. So, he giveth more grace, huh? Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So we even need God's help in order to be humble, don't we? To be clothed in humility. That's what God wants to do for us. If we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in due season. Wow, it's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. So the humbleness is what God is seeking from us. You cannot submit if you are not humble. If you're proud, how are you going to submit? And all of that is of the devil, really. All of that is of what? That man of sin. The pride. pride that works in that defiles everything it touches. So, you think more of yourself than you are. That's what he tries to get into you. So, those things are all dangerous. And we have to be very careful. Whenever those thoughts start creeping in, you realize immediately that's that pride coming in. That's that envy starting to work. That's that wanting to be seen and praised working in you. That's you trying to take the glory of God. You want the glory instead of giving the glory to God. Any thought that comes up that's like that, then what you have to do, you have to humble yourself. You have to yield it unto God, confess it, and say, Lord, I need you to help me in this humbleness. And God will do that. And it's going to happen through his grace, guys. This gives us the key right here. The more you allow God to work and perform his works in your world and in your life, grace will cause you to be more humble. Because you realize it's not you doing it. You realize it's the Lord, and you give all honor and glory to him. So let him work the works. That's the thing that's important. So, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Then 7 comes right to what we've been talking about. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Very straight statement, huh? Submit yourselves therefore unto God. That's who we submit to. We submit to so many other things. We submit to lies. We submit to anger and wrath. And we submit to judging. And we submit to all kinds of things. Pride, whatever. But what if we submit ourselves therefore to God? Do it therefore to God. Submit yourselves to God. This is the thing. You have to have a willingness in your spirit and in your world to allow God to be the number one thing there. You have to have that. There has to be a willingness to know that what you tried to work didn't work. So let's let God work it through his grace. There has to be a willingness to try the way God says to do it. Remember, he says the way, the truth, and the life. He's telling you there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end therefore is what? It's death. So let's try his way. And the end of that's going to be what? Life. See, that's the difference. So we can pass from death to life by humbling ourselves and allowing God to work in our life and submitting to the will of God. We can pass from death to life. So we need to submit. And then it says something very powerful after that. So it says, submit yourself therefore to God. As soon as you do that, guess what starts to happen? Adversary is going to try and redouble his efforts. But what does it say to do? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many times have we thought the devil had so much power? And there used to be a comedian who used to say, the devil made me do it. Remember that? And we acted like we were helpless. The scripture says, resist him. Well, how do you resist? You resist through the grace of God. You resist through the word of God, through the love of God, through the believing in God. As God gives you more and more of this word and raises you up, brings you the understanding and the wisdom, and that thought gets resurrected in you, the more power you have to resist him day after day, minute by minute, hour by hour. Because he's always ready to come forth and separate you from God if he can. By defiling, by seducing, by deceiving. But let's take a look at this. When these thoughts start to come, guess what? We resist. We resist because we've learned the word of God. We resist because the Son of God is in us and we're becoming sons of God. We resist because the Spirit is stronger of God than this other spirit. God is the Father of all spirits, isn't he? So if he has the power to overcome this spirit, shouldn't we be in league with God? Shouldn't we let God do the leading of us? Shouldn't we let God help us in this resistance? Shouldn't we let God's grace work in our life so that we can resist? Those are the things that God wants us to understand. So resist the devil and he will flee from you. Man, that's a nice, how many have images in your mind of a devil running, fleeing? You resisted him. I'm a son of God and he can't do anything with you. It's almost like Legion saying, have you come to torment us before our time? The power of God is manifesting you to the point where the devils tremble and they flee from you. Isn't that great? Put yourself in that place. Get an image of that in your mind, because that's what's going to happen. It's going to be you putting the devil to flight. And it's amazing because it's going to be through the power of God making you a son of God. And he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Wow. So it's a very simple formula, isn't it? Draw closer to God. When you do that, what does God do? This is a promise, guys. You draw nigh to him, what is he going to do? He's going to draw nigh to you. He's going to come closer to you. He says, I want to be close to God. I want to know God. I want to speak with God. I want to commune with God. Okay? Draw nigh to God. Let his grace work. And he will draw nigh to you. That's a promise. And we'll become closer and closer with God until we are that. Until we are that word we were in him from the beginning. So let's draw nigh to God. And God will draw nigh to you. Very powerful. Cleanse your hands. So it gives you the formula and what to do, huh? Cleanse your hands of what? Any sin. Anything you put your hand to. Ye sinners, and purify your hearts. Well, the heart has to change. Those thoughts in the hearts have to change, don't they? We have to allow the grace of God to work. Ye double-minded. Can't be double-minded. You can't follow God and mammon, the scripture says. You have to follow one or the other. There's one that's going to be a master. You can't serve two masters. So you might as well serve God. That's the key right there. Double-minded people try to serve two things. Guess what? You can't do it. You have to serve the one and the one that is God. Very powerful in this submission. So, I've talked to you a little bit about what submission is and what it's going to involve. And we have to be ready to do it. But here's the thing, guys. There has to be a willingness. I've said this before, to submit. The very first thing is you have to want it. You have to want this thing. You have to believe it. You have to trust it. First thing, do you believe? Do you trust God? Do you desire this? We have so many desires, guys. And a lot of it's based on the flesh, and some of it's based on even on this physical realm. We have so many desires. What if your desire becomes one thing and one thing only? You desire to perform the will of God. What if that was it? What if that was the overriding thing? What if that was the number one thing in your life? I want to do the will of God. I want to be his servant. And here's the thing. When we say we're going to submit, we will be servants. In fact, you have to be a servant to submit, really. You want to make up in your mind that you want to be a servant of God. You want to. And so this is very powerful. Do you want to be a child of God? Do you want to be a servant of God? And that's one of the things that we have to ask ourselves. Sometimes we have to question ourselves, guys, about what we really want. We've been in this thing for a while, and what God has been doing, he's been guiding us and leading us and bringing us to a point where we have to make the decision, we have to make the choice. It's just like that resurrection unto life, resurrection unto damnation. A choice has to be made. There has to be a separation of that in our lives. We don't want to remain in damnation. We don't want to remain in darkness. We don't want any little bit of darkness to remain in us. Jude talks about hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. In other words, the garment may be all there, it may be white, but there's still some little spots there. You want to get rid of those too. You want it to be pure, you want it to be right, you want it to be righteous, and you want it to be holy. And spots can't be there of the flesh if that's the way it's going to work. So we want every vestige of this sin, this flesh, to be removed from us. That's what we want. Our desire has to be that, to want to be clean, to want to be pure before God. And the only way to do that, follow God. It's as simple as that. Follow the grace of God. As he leads, you follow. As he's in the light, you walk in the light. That's how God wants us to do it. So he's saying if you draw nigh, he'll draw nigh to us. He will guide us. He will lead us in this. He will show us how to do it. So even in the humbleness of it, submitting to humbleness, to humility, even to purifying and cleansing, even to trusting and following, all of these things God will help you with. The patience, the long-suffering, everything that it takes in order to make it, he will help you with that. Those are attributes of God. And if you allow him to, his grace will perform that in you, in your world. it'll perform it. So we have to believe God. We have to trust God. This submission is a big thing. Humbleness in the face of God is a very big thing. And so we sanctify ourselves. We, in the prayer that we render unto God, we ask Him to help us to sanctify Him. And we're sanctified through His word, which is truth. But we ask God for help in that. Lord, let You be preeminent in our life. You and You alone. And that's the thing that's important. So, a lot of things on my mind has been given to me. And there's much that can be said. But I think we're at that time now where we've said enough for this particular time. There is much in our mind continuing on judgment, you know, on submission and on humbleness. But we'll get to that another time. But we want you to consider the things that we said today. Put these things in your mind and just make your decision, guys. Make your decision. Make a choice to follow God in all things. Make Him the most preeminent thing in your world. And by preaching the gospel to your world, preaching that truth to your world, that will become a reality. Because the gospel is God. That gospel is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So let's preach that gospel in our world. Let's preach it to ourselves. Let's believe God and trust Him and be obedient to Him. And when we obey, guess what? God's going to draw nigh to us and grant us everything that we need. That's a promise, guys. That's a promise. So we hope you got something out of what we said. Does anybody have any questions for me about something that I said or anything? Is there any comments? Maybe you just want to make a comment. But this is your time. Come on and say something. Speak to us.
Hey, PK.
Yeah.
Hey, when you were talking about the due season, I was thinking about the season. How do you know when it's the season?
The due season. You're talking about due season, right?
Yes.
Hey, the due season is now. You remember we said it's high time to awake out of sleep?
Yeah.
We've been in a season of sleep, and all of you must realize that. There's been a time we... Remember when Jesus was in the garden, and He asked them to, you know, pray with Him in the garden? And He came back, and He found them asleep?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then He went back to pray again, came back again, found them what?
Sleeping.
Okay, went away a third time, and it came back. What did He say the last time, though?
He said, He told them to go on and sleep.
Sleep on, because that's their season. They were in a season of sleep. That's not a good thing when He told them that. He told them, sleep on, because He's going to have to awaken them. He had to go through that crucifixion and come back and awaken them. We are in sea, just like when the angel troubles the waters. Isn't that a season also?
Yeah.
Doesn't it say that? It was a time, a season that it came and did that. Those seasons are times in God. And what those times are is time for sleep. There's a time to be awake. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace, man. You see where I'm going with this? All these things, those are seasons. The due time is whenever that hits you. Whenever you come to the understanding of what God wants you to do, that's your due season. Right then. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's actually what
we think we're going to wait on a season like fall, spring, winter, summer, like that. That's not what He's talking about. It's the season of God. It's a timing of God. Even those seasons we speak of, like fall, winter, and all that stuff, aren't they certain times here in a natural earth?
Mm-hmm.
They are, aren't they? So what about those times that are in God? The time is... When you receive your word of God, that's your time. When God reveals something to you, that's your time. When God says it's time for you to overcome something, that's your time. That's your due season.
So even in the conversation, me talking to you now about the due season is the time to receive those things right now.
Yeah, right now. You know what? We put a lot of delay in God. I'm just going to say this, guys. We put a lot, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord so he can do this for me. You know what? Your waiting's supposed to be active. It's not you sitting on your butt, crossing your legs, and waiting for God to just do something by osmosis out of heaven. There is an active working of God in your waiting on him. You have to consider the thoughts of God, the word of God, the spirit of God. That's active. But we use it a different way, and we shouldn't do that. We put a lot of delay in God. Well, maybe next year, maybe not. No, God said it's now. Yeah, my mom just says, now are we the sons of God? Now. It's high time to awake out of sleep? Now. See what I mean? Now is our salvation closer than when we first believed. Now. God doesn't want you to delay. The day you hear his voice, what does it say? Harden not your heart. See, the one that hardens his heart doesn't believe it's now. It's for them then. They think there's something else that they're waiting. They have a thought in their mind. There's something else they need to accomplish or do. No. Don't harden your heart. Receive it now. This is what God's talking about. So those seasons are times in God.
I didn't know just that the ending part that you said right there, that those seasons are times in God. That's very profound. I didn't look at it that way, and I didn't see it that way as times in God. So that's a big thing there. Because it kind of talks about that in Ecclesiastes, you know.
Yeah.
That same thing right there that it talks about.
Hey, let me let you guys in on something. We are in the Gentile dispensation. Gentiles are being grafted in. Gentile thought is being overcome. It can be saved now, just like a Cornelius. And all of those things have to come to pass. In other words, God said this. He says, considers Jew and Gentile both under sin. So now we're at the time where he can redeem all of it. Does that make sense? So no matter what the thought is, God can redeem it. This is the time, guys. And God's doing this for a purpose. Why is it the Gentile dispensation? Isn't it provoking Israel to jealousy? See, God has a purpose for everything. And so this is your time. This is your time to become what Paul says, he says to those Gentile churches. He's the one that tells us, you know, there's a lot about high time to wake out of sleep. He tells us now is the time. He tells us that we have to quit walking in the flesh and start walking after the Spirit. He's the one that tells us that God's grace is sufficient. He's the one that tells us that his grace helps us to accomplish it all. And he wrote all these letters to what type of churches? Gentile churches. This is much bigger than we think.
Believe it or not, PK, the reason why I was asking that question, or why that came to my mind, was because the other night I had a dream about this same thing right here. So it kind of caught me when you said that, and it brought it back to my remembrance. And the last thing you said right there about the God wants us to be in the spirit and not in the flesh. We want to be able to manifest that that spirit of God even here. And that was actually the very words spoken in my dream. And like I said, it just came back to my remembrance right now. So this is really good. This is awesome.
Yeah. Everything's got to come to manifestation, guys. Everything, whether it's good or evil, has to come to manifestation. This is a powerful thing, and God's doing that right now. That's the thing that's powerful. How many of you have noticed the things that are being manifested in you, and you're finding those things out, good and evil? And so it's very important. This manifestation has to be. This is the proving of God. It manifests, and you see it for what it is, whether it's of God or whether it's of the devil. See, and we're making our choices now. Anyone else? All right, guys.